Open to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Let's pray together. We desperately need Your Word, O God. And we're thankful for the means of grace and the preaching of the Word and the hearing of it. And we pray Your Spirit would do that wonderful work of making our hearts tender to receive it, to convince our minds that we need it, lest we say in our hearts, "I've heard it all before." And grant, O Lord, that it might be proclaimed with clarity so that it might be received well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Word of God given under inspiration of the very Holy Spirit who searches the deep things of God. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? And that is the word of the Lord. Life, I remind you, as Jesus has taught us, is more than food, and the body more than clothes. The reason Jesus directs His disciples to see how the Gentiles are anxious about those things is to show that the disciples sees more to life than just our physical needs. The Sermon on the Mount, please remember, especially as we go through this and not only in the parables of Jesus, understand it is not a book of virtues instructing us with the rest of the world how to be good. An unbeliever cannot hear this and hear it properly and understand it as Jesus gave it. It is not simply a moral tale, nor is it a blueprint for us to have a profitable, wealthy life. It is instruction to the disciples of Jesus Christ about what it means to live in the kingdom of God, what it means to seek it, what it means to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be like Him? It is instruction that goes to the heart. It deals with life that is abundant and a life that comes with great blessing. Now, every disciple knows that it's hard. Every child growing up in a covenant home who has looked out on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday morning as they're getting the car going to church and seen their neighbors and their friends playing ball on the street, riding their bikes on a beautiful Sunday morning as they're being loaded into the van or the car and being driven off to the church. Every adult who has wondered what it would be like to be free of Wednesday night or Sunday morning and Sunday evening and free of investing time in devotions and having that extra money for their annual budget to spend on other things if they just didn't give it to the Lord's work. We know it's a struggle to live and walk and be faithful to Him, that we cannot speak off the cuff, that we must be careful with our words, thoughtful about not only who we are, but who we represent and who we follow. These go beyond the ordinary difficulties of life. These are battles and struggles that not everyone wrestles with. That is, not everyone knows the Lord. Not everyone who is called to live a life with a heart centered on the kingdom of God and His rule and His reign through His Son, Jesus Christ. How do we keep taking in what Jesus reveals? How do we hold fast to the name of Christ when we are being persecuted? How do we rein in our hearts that want so badly to be recognized by others in what we give and how we publicly pray and when we fast? How do we deal and rein in our hearts that simply want to be affirmed, acknowledged, praised, lauded for our religious practice? How do we deal with that? These things are not easy. When Jesus addressed the heart, He understood. He was addressing something that is very difficult for us to deal with. Yet we're called to be disciples. How are we to be meek? We know there's a blessing that comes with it. Poor in spirit, we know there's a blessing that comes with it. But my goodness, the world doesn't understand that, and they don't give it. They don't give you the blessing when you are meek and you are humble. Where do we get help? Where do we find this good life that belongs to the disciple, given the very first verses of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus proclaims the blessedness of the disciple of the Lord? Where do we find it? How do we live up to those requirements? How do we get on in this world as a follower of someone the world consistently denies and now blasphemes with great pride and joy? Life is more than food. And this text before us is about more than just having enough to eat and having clothes on our backs. Those who seek to live the life of a disciple will find that help is available for the asking. There's help for the asking for those who would follow Jesus Christ. And we need that help. We all need that help. First, the disciple must be persistent in pursuing the kingdom life of a disciple. We must be persistent in actually seeking it and seeking the help then that comes with it. The internet has provided opportunity for research for any purchase that you could ever make. And if you are like me, when you think about making a big decision and buying something that's pretty expensive, you got Consumer Reports, U.S. News and World Report, you have YouTube reviews of every product under the sun that you get, and you dig in, you seek, you look for information. You need help and counsel for making that decision, and so you scour the internet and you look. And you find, and when you're finally comfortable, because you don't want to get at the end of the day, when you've made that purchase, to have buyer's remorse and go, I should have never, ever, ever bought that model. Now I've come to learn that it's returned more than any other coffee maker that's ever been returned. We want some assurance. We want some assurance that they were going in the right direction. We want some help. Yet in our Christian lives, we so little ask for help. We don't so much take the time to use what is available to us to help us to make the decisions to live the life to which we are called as disciples. Which means getting up in the morning and not begrudging having to go to church because everyone else in the neighborhood is outside. You had to mow your lawn on Saturday, or you'll have to do it Sunday night. You don't have that Sunday morning to get all that stuff done. Catch up on the laundry. Catch up on your reading. Catch up on all these things. We so little ask for help to be able to say, yes, I follow Jesus Christ and I am going to worship with other disciples. That I get to go home to my family. That I get to give to the needs of the church. That I can be meek and not be weak. That I can be pure in heart even though I still wrestle with sin. I can receive the blessings of Jesus Christ. That I can endure a little teasing and mocking for the name of Jesus Christ. Now, one may prayerfully ask and seek for things you need and desire. Again, when we go through the Sermon on the Mount, it is so familiar in common culture and in Christendom that we have to deal with some of the interpretations that leave out or totally contradict what Jesus Himself says. Now, you have needs, you have plans, you have purposes. Now, just because your plans and purposes, your job decisions and those things, your purchase decisions are not necessarily sacred, doesn't mean they're unimportant. When you pray for a path for a career field, you seek, you knock, you ask, Lord, give me these things. Your common pursuits are important. The Lord hears your prayers. Your supplications may come to Him. But the context of 7 through 11 is not the general supplications of people to God. Jesus has been instructing them carefully about discipleship and what it means to live for Him and how you can set aside anxiety. Not because anxiety is psychologically damaging to you, which it is, but because there is a God who loves you as His children, and cares about you more than the birds of the air, and sees you as more beautiful than the flowers of the fields. It's about a holy life. And are you willing and desirous to ask for what you need to live it? And we ought to be. We ought to seek that help. Now, most people don't need to be told to be persistent in seeking common things. Right? You don't have to be told, most of you, I don't think, that when you're going to make a purchase of a vehicle, you really ought to read the reviews. You don't have to be told and convinced of that. You don't need any special wave of wisdom and power to come over you to be able to pick up the internet and research it. And you know there's things you ought to do. You know you need to work to get your bread. But you do need help in living for Him. You do need help to be a disciple. You do need help to live as a Christian child, a Christian adult, a Christian senior. You do need help and you need it from the Lord. So we are told in these verses to pursue help for our life as disciples. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you, the Lord says. We ask for what we need. We ask because we understand that there's something that we lack. We do it all the time, right? In the past, we'd think of the illustration of the neighbor knocking on the door for a cup of sugar. Right? You knock on the door. Why? Because you're baking something, and everything is better with sugar. And without it, and using substitutes just won't do. So you go and you knock on your neighbor's door and you ask for some sugar because you know you need it for the recipe. We're familiar with these images that Jesus uses. The person who asks knows they need something. We also seek what we need. Now, when Jesus says, seek and you will find, do not understand that to mean that God has this, God hides it. It's like an Easter egg hunt. God hides the eggs of blessing and strength, and He puts them over, and you got to find them. And you got to look under the tree and in the bushes, and maybe if your parents are really sneaky, they put it up on the light post up there where you can barely see it because you're looking at the ground. God doesn't hide His grace. He doesn't hide His help. Seeking means and finding means that you are diligently seeking after, searching for that help and knowing where to go for it. And you will find it. Now, you desire, when you go out shopping, maybe you desire a pair of jeans. You go out and you go and you seek for them, not because Kohl's has hidden the jeans in the back room and you have to go seek and find them. You're looking for them, but you know where they are. That makes sense. You know where they are. You find them because they're where they're supposed to be. They're on either hanging on a rack or they're on a table because they're on sale, and there are the jeans. You go, you know where to go. You go to God and you seek. And you'll find them. They'll be there. Now, knocking itself is a very active pursuit, isn't it? You go over and you knock on the door because the person in there can help you in some way. You need something from the person who was there. You need, as a sojourner would have gone along their way, and a sojourner that is a stranger going through a different land, they would need to knock for a place to stay, for help, knock for a meal. And it was generally part of the culture where a stranger would come along and that door would be opened. And if the door is closed to you, that's a very, very bad thing. If you knock and it is not open, that means you go without what you need. You go without a place to lay your head. You go without a meal. So these images, these things are not so, they're common to us, but they have this relevance in a culture where people would ask and seek for help and knock on doors for a meal. But in all these things, it is required that you have an interest in asking. That you're willing to actually seek. That you're willing to knock and not be one who just waits for this wave of just spiritual strength just to come on you. Just go about your life and says, if God is willing, then He will somehow give me what I need. I'm just going to go through my life. I'm not going to give my time to prayer, to worship, to gathering of God's people. I'm not going to do it because God will take care of me. It's just what God does. God will provide what I need. And generally, most often, what you think you need is not the spiritual help that you really need. So how would you rate your own interest as a disciple? How would you rate your interest in actually living as a follower of Jesus Christ every day? Is it really of interest to you? Is it something for which, I'm always embarrassed to go, I'm embarrassed to ask. Ask someone for directions, it's embarrassing. Right. I don't always feel the need to go knock on someone's door for a cup of sugar. I'll go up to Kroger's and buy some. Right? Because I just feel embarrassed. I feel like, I feel small and feel too needy, and that's pride, and I know that. But what about as a disciple? Do I have an interest in approaching God for the help that I really understand what it means to be a disciple? Because if I do, and if you do, you'll know how much you need that help. How much you need to ask and seek and knock. Do you do it? And how do you do it? Well, if you do, and you should, there is assurance for you that you will find it. So we look first, as we've seen, that a disciple ought to be persistent in pursuing the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. It ought to be foremost on our minds. But secondly, the assurance of help for the persistent disciple is there. There is assurance of help that comes to us in this text. And it comes from two places. But first, let's look at our need for the assurance. Now, we talked about our need for help, but we also need assurance of help. We need assurance that our asking is going to be met with giving, that our seeking is going to be met with finding, that our knocking is going to be met with an open door. We need that assurance. Why? Several reasons. You can think of some more. We need assurance of help to live the life of a disciple. Because we easily give up when we fall behind, don't we? We easily give up. If you miss devotions, right, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, how much harder is it on Thursday? If you don't pray for, say, a week in a row, and you've just kind of let, how hard is it to start up again? It's pretty hard, right? We need assurance that it's actually going to be help. We want to give up. We fall behind. We think, God is so disappointed in me now. You know, God, there's no way that this is going to be easy. There's no way that He's just going to let me come back to Him in prayer. He's not going to let me just come back and minister to me as I read His Word. He's, because I've slacked off. I've fallen behind. We need assurance of help. Because we don't always understand what we are supposed to do and how we are supposed to live. Ain't that the truth? As Christians, we don't always know how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to, what decisions we're supposed to make in particular situations of our lives. All right? Our children don't know exactly what is expected of them, what it means to be a disciple. We don't know fully what it means. So we need help. We need assurance that when we ask, and we say, Lord, I cannot figure out this Christian life. You're a new believer, and you're thinking, I don't know. I've been living a certain way. I just don't know what a disciple looks like. How I'm supposed to get on as a Christian now? Do you know there's help? And there's assurance of help? We need assurance of help because we face strong temptation. The disciple is always challenged by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Always being dissuaded from the path that follows Jesus Christ through suffering. Right? Through suffering. Well, we need assurance that when we ask for help to be a faithful disciple in times of suffering, or just in times of general temptation to say, you know what, I'm going to stay home and mow the lawn. You know what, I'm going to get involved with my neighbors, you know, with the conversations that's going on with the other kids my age. I'm just going to jump right into there and be part of it because it's easier than understanding as a disciple of Jesus Christ, how do I handle this embarrassing situation? I am going to look like such a fool if I tell my friends I've got to go home just because they're talking about that. Things are hard. The Christian life is hard. We need assurance of help because we sometimes think He will give up on us. That at some point God will stop giving. And that at some point we'll go to Him and we won't find, or we'll knock and He won't answer. So we need assurance. Right? This is not, we've talked about, we need help for sure. But this is talking about we need assurance of that help, which is given in these verses, in the way Jesus says them. There's first the assurance of Jesus' word. Our brother read from Proverbs 8, wisdom. Wisdom personified. In Jesus, all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom reside. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He's the Word of God. The very image of God. As wisdom is found by those who seek her, that is, if you want wisdom, Proverbs says in the wisdom of Solomon, that which was taught to the children, here's some wisdom. If you seek wisdom, you will find her. If you're really interested in being wise, young men, young ladies, then you'll find it. It'll be given to you, this assurance. Here's Jesus saying, ask and it will be given to you, says the Lord. Seek and you will find that help you're needing, you're looking for. Knock and you won't be turned away. It'll be open to you. Wisdom is found by those who seek her. The help for the disciple is found by those who ask, seek, and knock. It's Jesus' own word. As assuredly as in the imagery of Proverbs, the wisdom, like the lady, goes out and calls forth, ignorant, come to me for wisdom. You fools, come to me and learn insight and instruction and discretion. And you will find it. Jesus, as the very wisdom and word of God, says, ask and you will be given. It will not be denied to you. Seek and you will find it. The shelves will not be empty when you go there and you're looking for what you know to be there. It will be there. What Jesus says here and what He's been saying all along is that being a disciple isn't paying your own way. Being a disciple isn't about you getting through it on your own strength. A disciple isn't dragged along like luggage, catching what scraps the master tosses. Jesus is not one who goes and then just leaves everyone behind because he walks at a pace that not one of us can keep up with. Who can keep up with Jesus and holiness? We can't. We need help. You are not, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, simply called to listen, to take notes, and figure out how to put it all together. It's not discipleship is not a Bible code where you write down a list of things and then you kind of figure out on your own how to work it out. Then you go outside and you say, okay, this is what we're going to do. It's Sunday and we're going to go to church. Hurry up, get in the band and we're going to go because this is I put it all together and that's how we live the life of a disciple. It's a life lived with the help of God. It's a life, it's a sanctification that is itself by grace. You can't figure it out apart from the Holy Spirit. And who gives the Holy Spirit? The Father and the Son do. And the Holy Spirit helps you when you ask, when you seek, when you knock. Jesus never expected the disciples to step into this life of following Him and find it easy. In fact, He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. He said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so they left their boats and their nets and everything that was secure to them and they followed Jesus Christ. And every day they needed His help. Jesus understands that as you try to follow Him, you will come to this place where you will realize your inability without help. And you'll want to ask for help if you're a true disciple. And He is assuring you that you will find it. Ask, and it will be given to you. What you need for real life, not the life that is just concerned about food and clothing, but the real life, the whole fullness of life in the kingdom of God as a follower of Jesus. You will find what you need for it. That's a lot of assurance. That's a caring and assuring master. That is a Lord who gathers His own to be like Him. Jesus wasn't just passing out information. He is the one who sees to it that your discipleship pays off. Makes sense. He's not the one who says, here are some tracts, you read it, and then you do that and you're fine. He says, follow me and I will make sure, just as he did with his disciples. He prayed to his Father that all you have given me has lost one. And why did he lose the one? Because it was predestined that that one would be lost, Judas. That is, of all that you have given me, I have not lost one. That's the way of your master. He doesn't lose you. He doesn't leave you in the dust. He doesn't leave you ignorant. He doesn't give you a textbook and say, just go figure it out. He says, ask and you will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. What an invitation. Finally, the assurance of the Father's love. The assurance that Jesus gives to the disciples is His word and the character of the Father, which has already been expressed and emphasized by the Lord in dealing with anxiety. So Jesus takes an example as he speaks to this group gathered around Him, an example of common everyday life among people that are evil, He says. You are evil. Not flattering, but realistic. And He says, you being evil, which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will give them a stone? Parents, which one of you would? Think about it. I mean, we're parents, some of us, right? Would you give your son a stone when he's asked for bread in need? Or when they've asked for a fish, would you hand him over a snake? I would say, absolutely not. And generally speaking, even in this fallen, wicked world, it is generally true, that parents will give their kids and try to give their kids what they need. School clothes, food, a place to live, generally speaking. Well, if that is the case, and you can imagine all the heads in the audience where Jesus was speaking, all those in the field were going, yeah, I would. I would do that. I would give my son bread. I would give my daughter, I'd give her fish. I wouldn't give her a serpent. Yeah, that's right, Jesus. All that's just really, really true. And then he drives home his point. And it works because he says what is true about them being evil. He's not mocking them. He's being frank. He says they are sinners who know how to give their children the good things that they need. And then he uses that phrase. We've seen it, and it is so important in his teaching. He's a master teacher. How much more? How much more? He says, look at yourselves. And look what you would do. Now, do you really think your Heavenly Father would do less? Do you really think that you who are evil, who know to give good to your children so that they have what is necessary for their lives, that your Heavenly Father would turn you away when you knock? That He would not give to you when you ask? And that when you come to Him seeking, He would say, sorry, it's all gone. Do you really think your Heavenly Father is like that? That's assurance. Brilliantly taught by a master teacher. You may not have bread to give to your child. You may not have fish to give to your child. But God, the Father, always has in plenteous store what His children need. He always has it. And He will always give it. You're following Jesus in a very sinful and fallen world, a backwards world, a world that has a narrow view of what life is. And you need help. You need a sustenance that goes beyond bread. And you need robes that go beyond just the clothes on your back. You know life to be about much, much more. It's about eternal life. Are you frustrated as a disciple? Have you been trying and trying to figure out, I just don't get it. I just can't figure out how to do this. I can't figure out how to deal with this anger in my heart. I can't figure out how to deal with the lust in my heart. I can't figure out how to deal with the fact that I just want people to like me and praise me. Are you in the doldrums thinking you'll never figure this out? You'll never. Maybe you sit back and you look at other Christians and you go, man, I could never be like that. You look at some of our older godly saints who have walked with the Lord a long time and say, I'll never be like them. The way they talk to people, the way they pray for people, I just can't. Maybe you're like someone on a hike and you see other Christians as those who have already gone down the trail. You see everyone else around you as those Christians you're just... They're already around the bend, and I don't see them any longer, so I might as well sit on this log, because everyone's gone. They've so outstretched me. They're so far beyond what I am as a disciple. Like, they're walking, Jesus is here, and they're walking here, and I'm back here, and I don't know what to do. And I want to give up. And not only do I want to give up, I want to excuse myself for giving up. That's how bad I am right now, because everyone else is just far advance. Ever feel that way? Especially new Christians. Understand, brothers and sisters, that new Christians often feel that way. Children often feel that way if we're not careful with them. They'll think they can never be everything they're expected to be, and so might as well just give up. Ask, and you'll be given. Seek and you will find, little ones. Knock and the door will be open to you. Well, understand this first of all you who feel that way, you're sitting down and you think everyone's way ahead of you, that your brothers and sisters in Christ probably feel the same way. You think everyone's just outstretched you, and someone else may be looking at you and going, I wish I had that determination. I wish I had that simple childlike faith. Yeah, I've got all the do's and don'ts down, but my spirit just seems dry. Do you realize how much time we lose because we don't ask, seek, or knock? Because we're too busy thinking that it's all done because everyone else has ran ahead and we're left alone on the bleachers? It's just not the way it is. But also, and this is wonderful, I know it's an illustration, but stick with the illustration because I think it's true by revelation of God's Word. It's just by the nature of the church, it's true. Jesus has this way. And if you think about it with the illustration, it's almost comical. Jesus has a way of keeping every single disciple together with Him. So if you can imagine the picture of this, of following the Lord Jesus or following someone on a hike, and they're the leader of the hike, and they're going on, and some people are just walking really fast, right? Some people, these power walkers, they swing their arms like this, and they just move down the road. They're just moving really fast. And then others are like, just trying to get ahead. But when you look at the picture, everyone still is together. Some people's feet are moving really fast. Some people's feet are moving slow. But Jesus has a way of keeping us all together as disciples. And not leaving some behind and carrying some along to outstretch the others. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't outstrip each other. We don't have people get so far behind that the rest of us just sit here wondering how we can get there. Because Jesus has provided an assurance of help. That every one of us, whether we're sluggishly pressing along or we appear to be just racing down this Christian life, just learning and growing and maturing and all of that, that everyone who asks receives. And everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is open. And the Heavenly Father who loves you provides. Jesus told you to follow Him, not so He can leave you in the dust. He's told you to follow Him so you can learn from Him.
the disciple grows by remembering that the Father has all the help they need and that He is pleased to give what they need. Your Father is pleased to give you what you need. Are you ready to get back on the saddle as a disciple? Are you ready to start up again? Are you ready to invest yourself by asking and seeking? And some of the ways you can find what God has provided is in the ministry of the church. Discipleship, men's, ladies, Bible studies, prayer meeting, worship, morning and evening. These are ways in which God gives us what we need to be disciples. Ask, seek, and knock. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that You do not hide Your Son from us, that You do not hide Your Spirit from us, that You do not hide from us. Father, we confess that it's hard to be disciples of Jesus. It's hard to be meek. It's hard to hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's certainly hard to be pure in spirit. But we're so thankful that we have not been left to do this on our own. We're thankful for the faithfulness of Your Son who carries us along, who doesn't outstretch us and go hidden behind a curve in the road, but is faithful. We're thankful that You give us what we need and we ask for it now. Father, give us the strength and the help and the understanding, the wisdom to live for You, to follow Jesus, to be Christians in the world of enemies of God. And help us who may have forgotten our need to start now asking and seeking and knocking. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your hymn book to 437. It's a new hymn for us, 437. It is really singable, so I'm going to ask Heidi to play through it once, and then we'll jump in.